know, people, they're always looking for a better life, or most people are anyway, right? They want to have a greater life than they had last year. And people look at programs and different places to help them to achieve a greater lifestyle. You know, it seems just like that it's sort of human nature to want to have more, be better. But to some people, this is a mystery to actually how to achieve that. You know, it all begins with changing your way of thinking. It all begins with changing your way of thinking. Look at Proverbs 23:7. 23:7, I'm going to read it from the New King James and also the NLT and the Message. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. The NLT says it a little different. Don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They're always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't really mean it. The Message said, don't accept a meal from a tightwad. Don't expect anything special. He will be as stingy with you as he is with himself. He'll say, eat and drink, but won't need a word of it. Now, these verses here are using a miser to show the impact of thinking. You see, a person or a miser, because he thinks a certain way, he lives a certain way. See, the principle of this verse says, as you think in your heart, as you think. You know, reading from a book that I know the author really, really well, Right and Wrong Thinking. I happen to have his same name. He says, what we believe is a result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. If our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong. In other words, we'll have what we say. In other words, what we say, we will be wrong. It all hinges on our thinking. Now, many people don't realize this, but changing your thought patterns and changing your thinking is not automatic. There's some people, have you ever been around and met some people, and every time you get around them, their thinking is negative? In fact, you don't even want to get around them, because after you leave, you're wondering, hey, is the world going to fall apart? That's how negative they are. But they think negatively. See, if you want to think positive and think thoughts for a greater life, then you got to learn to read the right material and listen to the right people and be around people that think big. You know, of course, I'm always... I like track. I ran track. But in 1954, Roger Bannister was the first person to run an official recorded 4-minute mile. You know, prior to that, and there's some of you that can remember, they're old enough like me, that can remember when he did this. The school of thought is nobody could ever run a 4-minute mile. That was their thinking. Roger Bannister thought, hey, I believe it's possible. And so he went out and did it in 1954. 37 more people did it in 1955. 300 people ran a 4-minute mile in 1956. You see, Roger Bannister changed track's thinking on how fast you could run a mile. Today, they're running a mile in 3 minutes and something. And yet, back there, they thought it would never be possible. You see, how many of you remember when we landed a man on the moon? Do you realize that many people thought that would never happen? Somebody had to think that it was possible and then go and make it happen. You know, people live small lives because they think small. It's unknown, but somebody said, great thoughts precede great deeds. Now, if you're going to be used by God and how in a greater way this year, you're going to have to change your thinking. You're going to have to change your thought patterns. You know, in time of difficulty and mental anguish, David turned his situation around by changing his thinking. If you ever notice, when you read, David starts off with his trouble, but he ends up with a different thinking about his God. Look at Psalm 77:10. Give you a minute to turn there. My wife tells me I always go too fast, so I'll slow down. Because, see, used to, you have to turn in your Bible, but now with all the Bible programs, you can just cut and paste them, and I got them here, and I don't even have to, I got the different translations. In fact, I'm going to read the New King James and the NLT on this. It says here, and I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember his thinking. Here's his thinking about the years of the right hand of my Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember your wonders in the old. You see, he when he was in his anguish, and when he was in his trouble, he started thinking on God and what God had done. He said, I will also meditate on all your works. And then he starts, I will talk about your deeds. Your way, O God, is the sanctuary. Who is so great as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. NLT says it a little differently. And he said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all you've done, O Lord. I remember your deeds of long ago. You see, he was thinking that it was all lost, but now he changes his thinking here. He says, they're consistently in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of the great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. Remember, we were singing the song, there's no one like you. See, when he was in distress, the distress was there to start with. But then he began to take control of his thoughts. And he began, instead of thinking and complaining about his situation, he began to think about all that God had done for him. He began to think about how great God was. And compared to this situation, it was nothing compared to who God is. See, we've got to begin to change our thinking and begin to realize it doesn't matter what your condition is. Your God is big enough to bring you out of all of it and put you on the road of victory. But if you're sitting there complaining and thinking about how bad it is, yeah, it's bad. I'm not trying to minimize your problem. I'm trying not to minimize your situation. Hey, you know, sometimes people think that ministers don't ever have any problems. Yes, we do. We have the same kind of situation. We deal with the same things you do. But you see, instead of thinking about the problem, start thinking about how big God is. And that is nothing compared to how big God is and what God can do. You change your way of thinking. You know, oh, man, something happens and people start wringing their hands. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to do? Well, I learned this from a guy I'm named after. People start doing that, he'd say, quit it. Let me tell you what we're going to do. You know, people around, this back when, even when he pastored, of course, he left the church middle of my third grade year, but I'm still old enough to remember it. But then even family members and other ministers, things would happen. He'd tell them, hey, quit thinking that way. You gotta realize we're gonna do what God says. We're gonna have reap the rewards of what God said. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's being said. What's being said and what's happening is not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is what the Word of God says. If the Word said it, it will happen. You got to think that way before you can receive it. You know, he began, in the middle of his trouble, he began to talk about how great God was. You can't start thinking and talking about how great God is without it start changing you. Come on. Today, as we sing those songs, I didn't know the songs they were going to sing. I had no idea what they were going to sing. I leave that up to Rich and his team and to let the Lord direct them. But they were singing songs about how great God is. No one like him. As you begin to sing that, I begin to see and feel how that you begin to rise in your spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody else pick up on that? You can't begin to think about how big God is and how much he can do. You can't begin to think that way because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, because you're letting him loose now. You're saying, hey, come on. You're big enough. I'm going to let you do it. See, too many people, they're trying to handle a problem all by themselves. They can't do it. They got to start thinking how God can handle it for them and then let it go. Oh, I can't do that, brother. Yes, you can. The Bible says to roll all your cares, all your situations, on him, because he cares for you. Let him take care of it. Start thinking that way. Job 5:8. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. In the middle of Job's trouble, you know, his enemies stole all his livestock. Kids had been killed. Everything had been destroyed. He was afflicted physically. And now he had three tormentors. They call them friends, but they were tormentors. In the middle of all of this, he says, talking about his God who does great things. In fact, his wife told him to curse God and die, and he said, no way. See, many people in the middle of their trouble, they give up. They give up on God. No, that's when you need to turn it over and say, all right, big God, come on in. It's time that we began to think in line with the Word of God, not think in line with our situations, not think in line with how the natural thinks. The natural thinks one way, God thinks another way. Y'all there? Y'all going home already? You see, after David become king of Israel, here he is. And now he's subdued all the enemies. He's at peace with everybody. And the prophet Nathan comes to him and said, hey, David, God wants you and to get up, store up all this stuff so that your offspring can build the temple for God. And David responded to this and said in 2 Samuel 7:20, now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord, you know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you. You, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Here it says, there is none like you. We sing that a while ago. There's no one like you. David was at the pinnacle of his success. And even in his pinnacle of success, he pulled himself down and realized it was all God. It was all God. He didn't think about what he had done. He thought about what God had done. Somebody said to me the other day, not long ago, said, man, talking about, you know, we got 237 schools and all that kind of stuff. They said, man, look what you've done. I said, I hadn't done anything. It's all God. All I've done is tried to run to keep up with him. You start thinking about what you've done and you missed it right there. It's not because of you. It's because of who you serve. It's because of whose you are. It's because of God and the power of God. When you can't deliver yourself, he'll deliver you. When you can't set yourself free from the chains and bondage that the enemy has brought into you, he'll set you free. See, when the enemy comes in like a flood, hey, start thinking about how good God is, because he's going to come in and destroy. Instead of thinking about the problem, start thinking about the problem solver. Instead of start thinking about how bad it is and how down you are, start thinking about the deliverer, the one that's going to lift you up, the one that's going to set your feet on a higher plane, the one that's going to give you a greater life in 2019 than you ever had in 2018. David said, you've done all of these great things. Your servant knows this. You are great, O Lord. See, David said, I know, God, you did it, not me. You did it. He starts thinking, going all the way back. He starts thinking, no kid is going to destroy a lion and a bear. No 17-year-old is going to destroy a 9-foot giant. He starts thinking about all of that, and he says, hey, God, it's you. It's not me, it's you. See, hey, your mind can be a great ally or a great enemy. If you're thinking about all the junk and all the problems and so forth, it becomes your enemy. But when you start thinking about who God is and how great God is, and you start thinking about the Word and let the Word of God come out of your mouth, all of a sudden your mind becomes a great ally, because you start remembering what God has done. You start remembering what God has done. You start talking about what God has done. Let me tell you, the power of God is going to come down and set you free. Amen and amen. God is a great God, but he desires to do great things for his people. Let your mind be stretched to the fact that I am not relegated to where I'm at. I am destined for victory. I am destined for glory. You see, too many people think this is all there is. No, this is not all there is. The enemy wants you to think that way, because he wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you under. But God wants to lift you up. But he can't lift you up until you start thinking about how good he is and start letting praise come out of your mouth. Glory to God. You know, hey, think about it. God created all of this. God created everything that we see, the natural, the scenery. Hey, If he did all of that, he can sure take care of my little problems. Now I realize they may not be little to me or you, but to God, they're nothing. They're insignificant. Your problems to God is like that little ant crawling down there at your foot. What do you do with that little ant? You just step on it and squash it. When you begin to think how big God is and let him take control, he looks at your little bitty ant problem and says, meh. That bless anybody. That blessed me. I never have thought about that before in my life. It just came up to me just then. But hey, that's the way. Hey, we see our problems as some big elephant. God sees our problem as an ant. Ooh. And what happens to an ant? He gets squashed. Come on, stop him right now. Glory. When we think small thoughts, we don't expect much. But when we start thinking large thoughts, greater thoughts in line with God's word, we begin to expect what the word says. And I did a series not very long ago called Expect. You can get the book. It's out there. Are the CDs or the DVDs or whatever. All right. Hey, you need to discover the significance of the word greater. God is talking about greatness in his word all the time. Anybody ever realize that? He talks about greatness. The word great is defined as notable in size, large in number or measure, remarkable in magnitude, degree, and effectiveness, superior in character and quality. That's the dictionary's term for it. Throughout the Bible, we see these coming into effect as God begins to do his work. And he will do that same kind of work in you. I believe this describes the way God created us to be, and that is to do great things. He said in John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Hey, not weaker works, greater works. This means by believing God, you can do the greater works. The Bible says that the greater one's on the inside of you. Doesn't it? You're in God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than you, he who's in the world. You've got to start believing this. You've got to start thinking this. You've got to start thinking greater thoughts and believing for greater things. And what? Have a greater life. How many of you ready for a greater life? You have that because you get into the word and you start thinking what the word says. You start saying what the word says. My dad, you come up to him, Brother Egan, what do you think about this? What does the Bible say? What does the word say? He would say. But you don't know my problem. He said, I don't care about your problem. God said that your problem is insignificant. Get in the word. Find out what the word has to say, and then you'll overcome your problem. But until you keep on wondering what I'm going to do, the problem's going to overcome you. But when you get in the word and start thinking in line with the word of God and speaking in line with the word of God, you will overcome the problem. I've been with him when he said that many, many times to many, many people in different ways. Jeremiah, we know this. We read it all the time. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The message says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Here, Israel was in captivity. They saw no hope for ever being delivered. And God comes to them in the darkest hour and he says, hey, I have bigger thoughts than you're thinking. You're thinking you're not going to get out of this captivity. My thoughts are for you is bigger and better than you've ever thought. In their darkest hour, God was there to tell them he had great plans for them. Let me tell you what, God's got great plans for your life. There's no situation too difficult for you to handle with God. God's arm is not short. He will reach wherever you're at. He will reach to you. He will lift you up. He'll give you a life that is worth living. You can have a greater year than you've ever had before by thinking in line with the Word of God. See, we got to learn to change our thoughts. Even though we're born again, even though we're believing God and we're following him, we got to learn to change our thoughts. Lynette and I got married December 30th, 1965. We had talked about it. We said, man, if someday that we could just pastor a church from 300 to 500, that was, if you pastor a Pentecostal church back in those days that was that many, it was huge. It was a mega church. And have a Cadillac car and go to Hawaii one time. It would have been successful. But we, as we began to walk out the plan with God, we found out God had a, he was thinking bigger than that. So we had to change our thinking in line with God's thinking. When we started Rhema Bible Training College, when I started in September 74, I thought, man, we can just train 50 students. It'd be great. All of a sudden, more and more students started showing up. I had to change my thinking. I had to get in line and think with God. See, that's where I'm going with it. You may be thinking one way, but God's thinking another way. When he starts leading you that way, get in line with his thinking and move with him. Don't hold back. You know, 1980, I was preaching a sermon called How to Make the Dream God Give You Come True in St. Louis, Missouri, at a convention. And I'm preaching, you know, now I'm more of a pastor now, but usually, and I got in my evangelist mode this morning and started preaching. But I was an evangelist for all those years. And I mean, I would preach hard and fast. And all of a sudden out of my mouth, I said, we're going to have Ramas all over the world. That was 1980. I had to change my thinking but it didn't happen overnight. But I knew that's what God wanted. In 2000, we started. And today, we have 237 of them in 51 nations. See, my thinking and our thinking, Lynette's thinking, that was one way. God's thinking was another way. You got to learn, when God starts leading you, you don't hold on to your old thinking. Start changing your thinking and run with God. That's where the blessing is. That's where the victory is. That's where the greater life is. See, too many people want to hold on. Oh, this is what I got planned. Hey, if God's leading you another way, go with the plan of God. That's where the victory is. The victory's not with your small thinking and your small plan. The victory's with God's big thinking and God's big plan. God wants us to have the greater life. But you got to let go of the past. You got to think big. I've heard my dad say, tell people, see yourself heal. In other words, think, see yourself. See, you got to see yourself doing. Oh, I could never do that. Well, if God said you could, you can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that's all things. Coaches used to come through the locker room when I was in high school playing ball. He'd come through the locker room. And he come up to me and he said, Hagin, Yeah, coach. See yourself catching the pass that wins the ball game. See yourself shooting the basket that wins. See yourself getting the hit that wins. And I was real fast. He said, see yourself stealing home and winning the game. He said, you got to see yourself and believe you can do it before you can. Then you got to get in the word. Here's your coach, the word of God. And listen to what he said. He's telling you, see yourself doing what my word says. And see yourself doing it and then go accomplish it and you'll have the great life. I am here for you today to minister to you, to give you the life that you want. But you'll never get the life that you want if you don't follow my plan for your life. My plan for your life is greater than you ever thought. My plan for you is greatness. My plan for you is to come out on top. But too many people are looking to their circumstances, are looking to their situation and wondering, why is this all happening? It's happening because the enemy does not want you to succeed. But I want you to succeed, and you will succeed if you get in my word and listen to my word. I will give you the plan, and you can walk out the plan, and great will be the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That wasn't in these notes. That was God talking to somebody in this place. Or somebody's, more than one. God trying to get something across to some of you in this place today. God wants you to have a great life. I preached long enough. Everybody stand up and praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Minister to every heart in this place right now. Father, I realize that everything I said is not for everybody, but parts of what I said is for everybody that is listening to my voice, even those that are watching. May that part be indelibly stamped into their heart, and may they make the changes and begin to think in line with your word and move with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. The Lord, as I was praying there, the Lord wanted me to say to you that are watching, hey, what I said wasn't just for this audience, but the word that I had was for some of you that are facing, he said, this is what he said, you are facing some major changes and some major decisions, but if you'll follow me, you'll find out that it's going to be okay. Hallelujah. That's all I heard. I don't know anything else. Pray and ask God. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to minister a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. In order to receive the greater life that I'm talking about, you got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, or if you're in this place today, you know what it is to walk close to God, but you've gone far away and you need to come back and rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now, anywhere in this room, anywhere. You need Jesus. You need rededication. Ushers, help me. I can't see up in that balcony. Hallelujah. Anybody, let me see your hand. Anybody in this place today? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody here want to be filled with the Holy Spirit according to what the Bible says? I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about the Bible says. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit this morning? Praise the Lord. Raise your hands and thank God then. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah to Jesus. You got something you want to sing?
Absolutely.
All right, let's sing.
I went old school here. There is no God as big as mine. Too big a problem you just can't find. Well, it makes no difference what the devil tries. Too big a problem. the devil tries. There is no God as big as mine.
Hallelujah. Are you just saying words or do you really believe that? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Thank God. No God big as mine. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen.